Hello, this is Tim Burke, EG's deputy editor. It's Friday, the weekend is in sight. That can only mean it is time for We're Still Here, our weekly wander through some of the week's real estate news. I am here with Emma Rosser, our senior reporter, for I think our first We're Still Here appearance together.
It is.
Emma, how's it going?
Our first We're Still Here weekly wander of the week's events.
Yes. Oh, you did that so much better than I did.
I don't know. Yeah, we haven't done, I don't think we've ever done one together. Why is that?
Do you feel worried about this?
I don't really know what dynamic we're going to have, Tim, to be perfectly honest.
I feel like it's already working. This is great.
That's good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I've got the eldest self-isolating for the next week, so I'm back into the world of homeschooling, which I was absolutely terrible at during lockdown one, and so we'll now have to see if I manage it any better this time. Spoiler alert, I won't manage it any better this time.
What sort of stuff have you been working on? This is interesting.
We do maths, English. That's pretty much all that I get involved with, but I'm just not very good at helping him to keep his mind on the task at hand.
Well, he could contribute towards EG if he wanted a bit of training. Didn't know
he could. That's not a bad idea, actually.
A different voice, different perspective.
A lockdown diary from my 9-year-old son.
That would be so lovely. Which one was it that drew the wonderful skyscraper?
That was Ethan. That was him.
There you go.
So he's already got an intellectual curiosity about large scale commercial property developments.
Exactly. What was the skyscraper one again? Tell me about that, because I liked that.
It was the tallest building in London that he drew. He designed a front cover of EG with the tallest building in London. Nobody knew what it was going to be called, but they knew it was going to open in 2021 and would be filled with scientists, which actually now, when you think about what's happened this year, that was quite prescient.
So while everyone else was trying to predict the future of property last year, probably around this time last year, and we were getting all those predictions in, we had just a 9-year-old, or maybe he was 8 at the time, getting it all right.
Who had already seen the future.
You'd already seen the future, and it was scientists in a skyscraper. I really like that.
I'll get him working on some stories this afternoon.
Great. I mean, this is going to make all of my stories now seem pretty boring, to be honest, isn't it?
Well, how has your week been?
It's been busy. But yeah, it's been, are we talking kind of my week for me on, are we going into the articles now?
We can go into the articles now. Would you like to? I was making social small talk, but we can delve straight into your news.
No time for social. It's work or nothing.
Well, you've been busy, as you say. I mean, you brought our readers a Dagenham double bill this week with Peabody buying the old Ford plant. And then
I'm the alliteration coming out right now. Got lots in there. It's very nice. Yes. The double bill in Dagenham. I don't know if you've ever had a page dedicated to Dagenham in the magazine. I was thinking this. It's a lot.
Not in my time. If we have, we'd need to go back further into the archives. As far as I'm concerned, it's the first. So Peabody buying the old Ford plant, Barking and Dagenham's development company making a bit of a splash at the Beam Park development. Yeah. Why don't we start with Peabody? What is the company planning there?
Yeah, so this was the biggest story this week. Not to belittle Be First, also big, but this came as a big surprise, I think. So the Housing Association Peabody buying 42 acres at the former Ford plant in Dagenham. So they are planning to do 3,200 homes. So they've exchanged contracts to buy the scheme Dagenham Dock from Europa and St Conger for about 100 million. And the partners acquired the site about 5 years ago, and they've been working on plans for a big resi scheme there. So this is it will bring a huge number of homes into the area, obviously. And I think with Peabody as well, we're expecting a large number of those homes would also be affordable and actually social rented, sort of given their track record. This week, they just confirmed as well that they'll be doing 70% of the affordable housing at Holloway Prison will be social rented. And also with this scheme as well, the development's going to be backed by a huge GLA grant of 83.7 million, which is the biggest single grant this year from the GLA. That's big news. And so Peabody in general, they're really ramping up those large-scale regenerations, it seems, which I was a bit surprised about. I'd not seen that coming. We not have that many housing associations right now, or anyone really, going, you know, at this time of the year, you know, with the troubles that we've seen kind of in terms of investment. This is a big vote of confidence for the housing market, I suppose.
And you had a chat earlier this year for one of our EG interviews with Peabody's chief executive Brendan Sarsfield, who of course has more recently announced that he's stepping down relatively soon. But I mean, from that conversation that you had with Brendan earlier in the year, how does this deal and this development fit into the broader strategy for the group at the moment?
Yeah, well, now I look a bit silly, to be honest, because in the interview earlier this year, when I was talking to Brendan, he was saying that they would be slashing their development targets. So he talked about for next year, they would expect to be less a third off what the previous target was. And so, I mean, I'd sort of kind of taken that to think that, you know, given, you know, what I've already sort of said, you know, kind of the troubles for housing associations, the cross-subsidy models heavily reliant on market sales, many of their surpluses drop. So I was sort of imagining that in general it would be going down. So yes, you'd have reduced development next year, but possibly longer term as well. And that's just really not the case, actually. You know, since that interview, they put in their plans, or they're working on their plans. They've started the consultation for Holloway Prism, so that's going to be about 1,000 homes. They've also got nearly 2,000 at the Lesness estate in South Thamesmead. I really hope I've said that right. I don't know if I did. And now this one as well. So it seems, you know, if they are maybe scaling back shorter term, that's probably, you know, market sale led. So you sell the home to build the home almost. But those bigger kind of state regenerations, kind of the big wide scale schemes, it seems that they're kind of full throttle. And talking to people in the market as well, people saying, you know, yeah, Peabody is still very active.
Nice to hear. So let's move from Peabody to Be First. What is that company picking up?
Yes. So this is a nice, strange coincidence. Just next door to the Peabody site, so Dagenham Dock, you've got Beam Park. So Beam Park was the last of more than 1,000 acres of GLA land to be released for development after Boris Johnson pledged to release all the City Hall land for development. So the last one, and they've been working on that for some years, that's about 3,000 homes as well. And we have, so Be First has agreed to acquire the last three phases, so that's 936 homes. And they're doing that with backed by a £309 million loan from the Council's General Fund and also £30.5 million in grants from the GLA. So the two sites sit next to each other. So you're going to have a ton of housing just there, which is interesting. That's a lot of homes.
It's a huge number of homes. I mean, when you take those two transactions together, as a snapshot of development and redevelopment within, you know, Barking and Dagenham, what does that tell us about the market there and the opportunities in the borough?
Well, it's interesting. Like when I first started at EG just over 2 years ago, I remember talking to agents and kind of about, you know, what was happening. And there was still a lot of talk about Barking and Dagenham. But one person did say to me, they used the phrase people storage, the fear that these, and I'm not saying that these developments would be anything like that, but if you've just got homes and you haven't got anything else, that it's that focus on community and actually, you know, creating a place, which you would definitely expect to see coming from someone like Peabody as well. I guess there's a lot of development opportunities. It makes sense that they're all going there. There's land. There's still a demand for housing. I think it's something like 20 minutes from Dagenham Dock to Fenchurch Street. So it's so quick to get into the city. It does make sense. But I think every time you boost the number of homes, you also need to make it a place. And I think at some point we might see some of these sites that are being sold as ready development opportunities. The council's going to want to balance that out and make sure you've got employment space as well, so it isn't just, you know, a ton of people living there and trying to get into the city, that it becomes its own place. And I think if you've got the council leading on that, you know, with Be First being involved and delivering those homes, then you would expect that you maybe would see that balance as well.
Yeah. Now we had Chancellor Rishi Sunak giving the spending review this week. You wrote some stories for us about the repercussions for housing and house builders from that mini budget. Now, throughout sort of recent weeks and months, we've been covering a lot of the listed house builder names who've seen really notable share price rises over the course of, you know, better news about the recovery from COVID-19, news and developments around lockdown restrictions and the promise of vaccines. A lot of those names saw some really big gains, but as you reported yesterday, a lot of the house builders dropped pretty sharply in the aftermath of the spending review. What seems to be the issue there?
Yeah, I mean, with the spending review, it's always takes a while to sort of unpick the details sometimes. Mm. You know, I think that the total was something like 20 billion for housing, which, you know, that's a great headline. And on the surface of that, that sounds wonderful. But it's difficult to kind of, you have to kind of really get into the nitty gritty and have a look at, you know, is that what we were expecting and where is that going to? And how does that actually, you know, when will that be provided? And how does that really support the house builders? And it has been quite interesting to see, with all the government announcements, the reaction on the stock market and watching the house builders kind of going up and down. So I think initially, after the spend review, some of them dropped a little bit, but it seems that yesterday they definitely dropped much. The drops were much sharper. Persimmon was the biggest one, down more than 5%, which is a big drop. I'm trying to look at, you know, what's in the spending review and what can possibly affect them so much. And it does take a little while to pick through. But one of the big ones is Help to Buy, obviously. Mm. And so, you know, Help to Buy, or Help to Build, as some people sometimes call it, you know, it's boosting house builders enormously. And so the government's sort of been trying to almost wean house builders off of this. And part of the package a couple of days ago from the government was that the Help to Buy finance, it was this 5.3 billion fund for Help to Buy coming from next April. But actually, that's a drop, or appears to be a drop from, you know, in 2018, Philip Hammond had said that they'd be getting 7.2 billion. So kind of digging into that small print, it doesn't actually seem as promising for the house builders. And it does seem to have contributed to the market sort of reaction as well. So I guess, you know, with all of these, it is kind of what will happen next, and kind of keeping an eye and seeing how they're all responding. We're seeing, you know, every time the house builders sort of, the question mark around Help to Buy, it's almost that the reaction is that you start to see almost a boost in build to rent. So, you know, how will we be delivering these homes? But yeah. A difficult one. Yeah.
And so alongside the review, we also had this, I think I'm right to say, quite surprising news about the Public Loans Work Board, with this block on loans to any council that has plans to invest in commercial property for yield anywhere in its 3-year capital plan. Now, obviously, this has been quite a contentious topic for some time. Councils, you know, investing money in commercial property in that chase for yield. Nonetheless, it seemed like quite a sudden and shocking move, given that it was announced alongside the review, and, you know, councils are told that this comes into effect from 9 o'clock the very next morning. Now, it's sort of early days. We're just getting reactions to this, but from early conversations that you're having, what's the reaction been to this block being brought in, and brought in the way that it has been?
Yeah, I mean, so I think it was in the spring, it was in March, when they said they started the consultation on this. And that was a bit of a shock at that point, to be honest. You know, that's continued through. And I think the outcome was what was expected, like you said, but it was the way that it was done and the suddenness that I think has really shocked people. So I've been trying to speak to agents and councils this week about it. And as you'd expect, they're all crazy busy, sort of running around and trying to work out, you know, how they're going to respond to that as well. You know, the fact that it's come in, and one of the requirements is, like you said, it's if they've got any debt for yield commercial property investment plans in their capital plans anywhere. So it's not necessarily for that development that they're looking for. And that could actually also include a local authority owned company, such as BeFirst, or a joint venture, and most of them are quite active and do have those and do have those as an income stream as well. Local authorities have been receiving less money and they've had to find ways to generate long-term income. Obviously, it hasn't always worked. That's no secret. Yeah. But yeah, so now that whenever they, if they want a loan from the Public Works Loan Board, they'll need to provide a 3-year plan showing that they don't have any debt for yield at all. And if they're kind of found to have misused the Public Works Loan Board, they could be suspended from it or are asked to repay loans. So I think people are sort of running around at the moment trying to work out, what does this mean? How they may need to make adjustments as well. Yeah. Which comes, after a pretty rubbish year for councils, to be honest.
Well, I'm sure there's more to play out there, and you will be keeping us up to date on developments.
Yeah.
And from the hunt for yield to a hunt for leaders. Just before we go, I wanted to flag that EG has launched its third award-winning Future Leaders program this week. So we are looking for 12 individuals from underrepresented groups right across the built environment to undergo a 4-month training course for presentation and public speaking that will then culminate in a live TED Talk style event that EG will host next year. Now, you can either nominate a colleague or a contact who you think is the next real estate leader, or you can put yourself forward for a place on the course as well. All of the details that you need are at egi.co.uk/future leaders, and we'll drop that link into the description for the podcast as well. But it's the third time that we're running this initiative. We've had fantastic feedback for the last two programs.
Yeah.
Award-winning indeed, and some amazing individuals who have come through in the first two cohorts. So very excited about launching this for a third time. And as I say, please do head to the website for some details of how you can get involved, either yourself or by recommending a friend or a colleague. Emma, thank you so much for making time to have a chat with me. Anything you'd like to add?
No, I think I'm good. But yeah, good luck with the homeschooling today.
I'll need it. Thank you. And thank you for listening. And we will be back next week. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Bye for now.